Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is yet another episode of A Canty Conversation. I'm your host, Declan Canty, and today's topic was picked by a guest that you'll soon be meeting. It's about sugar daddies and how they support and the both sides, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? So good afternoon, good morning. I would say good night, but that would mean you weren't listening. And the last time we aired this, I don't think I got a chance to say congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers on their NBA championship. So congratulations to those guys. And then let's get right into it. Okay, on this episode, for the first time on A Canty Conversation, we're going to have a guest. His name is Martin Deacon. Hi, Martin, how are you?
Hey, Declan, I'm great. If I was any better, I'd be you.
You have to try on my shoes first, so you say that. Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Martin, before we get into the conversation.
Well, I'm here in Miami. I moved to Miami 2 years ago from Key West. Other than that, I've been everywhere else and just trying to work a program and figure out what's next in life.
I hear that. The mysteries of life, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we said the topic was about sugar daddies, right?
Right.
But you do identify as, what's your sexuality?
Gay.
Gay?
Yep.
And okay, so what age did you come out, Martin?
I actually never did come out. I came to terms with myself when I was probably 13 or 14, and I knew I was different, but I never actually had to come out. I just kind of grew into my own shoes and became the person that I am today just by being me.
Awesome. Okay, and what did, like, when you were coming to terms, what about the life did you know, when, like, how did you know, like, other men were gay, or who showed you kind of the ropes of the community?
Well, as stereotypical as it is, it all came to a head in Boy Scouts.
That's right, bring up the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, well, what can I say? It was my first couple sleepovers, and, you know, boys will be boys, and
yeah.
So we played around with different games.
I think you and I understand that.
Yes, true that. You know, and of course, I went through the whole habit of stealing my dad's dirty magazines from his bedroom to bring them and show them to everybody else, and just me and another guy, we just weren't really all that interested. If we cared about the articles.
That's a great way to do it. It's like, hey, they're all, you know, who isn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody else was like boobs, and I was like, ew, what are those?
That's a good way to do it. I like that. Okay, and at the time, were there any LGBTQ idols that you looked up to?
Well, again, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, so Madonna was a big thing then.
Okay, cool.
Because she was about empowerment and being yourself and coming to terms with who you are and loving who you are. So she was a big influence over my life.
That's awesome. And so in what ways, like, say if there was a person who was not okay with you being yourself at the moment as a gay male, in what ways did Madonna inspire you to handle that situation?
Well, back then, there was a lot of people who were not, you know, they didn't like
you
the lifestyle. In the 1980s, mid-80s. And it was still kind of a taboo thing and looked down upon, especially when you come from a Christian family and, you know, everything is church. But, you know, she just basically talked about being yourself and being proud of who you are. And she was proud of who she was. And, you know, she didn't care about the controversy and she didn't care what other people thought about her, which was very awe-inspiring and brave.
That's awesome. So in turn, you didn't care either.
In terms, I didn't care. I still danced like a virgin just like she would want me to.
But you weren't a virgin for long because it says that at 16 you had your first sugar daddy?
I did. Now, I had been introduced to sex when I was 14 just by simply playing around and having, you know, sleepovers and that kind of thing. But I did have my first sugar daddy. I had a boyfriend when I was 15 that was actually 23.
Oh, okay.
And we lived on a lake. And so
how
we
did
would
be boyfriends?
It was an eye thing. You
like,
know?
It was like, you get it, I get it.
Yeah. Okay, you know, it was kind of, you caught me staring. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we used to go to the lake a lot because I lived right on Lake Lanier in Georgia.
Oh, that's fun.
And one day a ski boat full of very hot people and one old man pulled up off the shore and motioned for me to come and go party on the boat and go water skiing. And that was the beginning of the end for me.
That was the beginning. And so at that time, what were your desires? Like, what are some things you desired?
I wanted to be surrounded by fun things. Boats, skiing, hot guys, good clothes, money, you know. Uh-huh. And at that time, I had even experienced with smoking pot.
Okay.
So, and alcohol, of course.
That you were introduced to by these gentlemen or on your own?
On my own.
Oh, okay.
There was always beer and alcohol in our house, and my sister always smoked pot, so it was very easy for me to obtain and share. So I was always the life of the party, even back then.
Okay, I hear that. There's nothing wrong with being the life of the party. I like the hot guys part. Now, speaking of hot guys, was your first sugar daddy one of those?
No, my first sugar daddy was actually a very old man. he was 54.
Okay.
And he owned the boat, and he owned a BMW and an Acura, and he lived in downtown Atlanta, and he just embodied everything that I wanted to be when I was older.
Okay.
Meaning successful and surrounded by nice things.
Okay. And you wanted to be one of those nice things for him.
I was one of those nice things for him for many years.
And how did that come to be?
Well, it was kind of sad, actually, because I kind of dethroned his other boy toy.
Yeah. How did that come up? Tell me that story.
Oh, well, that happened the same day that we went, or I got invited onto the boat. Mm-hmm. And I ended up spending the entire weekend at his condo. And he ended up paying more attention to me than he did his usual boy toy. Mm-hmm. Which usually just kind of shuffled him out the door.
Now, let's be real. Was that your intention to shuffle the other one, or did you think it was
not at first?
Company too, okay.
Not at first, but I'm always up for a little competition. Always have been.
I hear that. Especially if Madonna was one of your
exactly.
items.
Exactly.
Right?
I try to be friends with him, but, you know, so, sore loser.
Yeah, so for you then, finding a sugar daddy was an easy process.
It was extremely easy.
Okay.
In the 80s, we all had titles. I mean, we didn't have as many titles as we do now with the gender identities and everything else. It was basically you were either a troll or a chicken. Troll being an old guy and a chicken being a young guy.
Oh, okay.
And all so the trolls want a chicken.
It's sort of like our Silver Fox and our Twinks these days.
Yep.
Okay. And so you were the chicken.
I was the chicken.
And you were in the coop with another chicken at the time.
Yeah, but he was just about to be put out to pasture.
Wow. And so did you have to deal with him, whatever his name being, we'll call him Tom.
Okay.
Did you have to deal with backlash from Tom once you kind of swooped in there and took his spot?
Tom kind of decided to go into competition with the older gentleman.
Oh, wow.
And try to steal me away from him.
Oh, that's an interesting spin. And what were some of the moves that he made on you to kind of get you away from?
Oh, the same thing everybody does when they're trying to get somebody younger and hotter and fresher. They loaded up on drugs and alcohol and tried to get me drunk.
Oh, okay. and that made you, like, were you aware of what he was trying to do, or did you think he was just trying to be friendly with you?
No, I knew what he was trying to do.
At the time? Okay, so you were
aware. I knew
aware.
What he was trying to do, but he was just a total failure.
Uh-huh. And how did that make you feel to know that he was trying to intervene on something that he knew you were trying to build?
I kind of felt bad for him, to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. he was trying so hard.
Now, do you know if Tom looked at the older gentleman as a sugar daddy as well?
Oh,
or were they friends?
Completely.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So, finding him was easy for you.
The older gentleman actually had Tom train me on all the things that Tom did.
as far as keeping house and cleaning boats and
all of that thing. So he trained his replacement.
So he was someone who was taking care of the older gentleman in those ways.
Right.
And so Tom was around as your gentleman fellow tried to teach you how to do the things that he was doing. So he had to have a clue things were about to change.
Oh, he knew from the first night what was going on.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. And so did it turn out the way that you wanted to, having someone take care of you? And what was it like being kept?
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I spent all my weekends down at his condo. Mm-hmm. I would tell my mom and dad I was spending the night with a friend. And I would go down there, and I went shopping, and we traveled. We went all over the place, including Mexico and Florida and Colorado. And it was great because I didn't have to worry for anything. If I just said, oh, I wish I had, poof, it was like a genie, and it appeared. So it was mm-hmm. fantastic.
And at what cost to you?
My freedom. Mm-hmm. Because I literally had to, I was by his side every day of every minute that I was allowed to be, you know, if I wasn't in school. And I was in charge of keeping the house clean or being the perfect little host when he had company come over or cleaning the hot tub or cleaning the pool
right.
or sex whenever he wanted it, you know? I mean, that was a given. And
yeah.
So.
Now, did those things get tiresome for you?
Eventually they did.
And what were the things that kept you doing it, even in moments where you're like, I don't really feel like, you know, cleaning the gutters or, you know, doing those kind of things.
I grew accustomed.
Or being sexual, doing sexual favors.
Right. Mm-hmm. I grew accustomed to having the nice things mm-hmm. and not having to wish or want for anything. All I had to say is I wanted something and it would appear. So I just kind of wrote it off as coming with the territory, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mind doing those things for about 2 years because anything I ever wanted, I had.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was ready to... I was almost graduation time, and I wanted to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do, that it started to bother me.
Right. And this being your first experience with a sugar daddy, how did you see it in the beginning? Did you just see it like, I do a couple of sexual favors for you and then get what I want out of it? Or how was it that you looked at it being in that type of relationship?
Oh, that was exactly how I looked at it.
Yeah.
That was exactly, if I wanted something really, really expensive, I had to do really, really good. If I just wanted a little joint, you know, it could be a quickie.
Yeah, okay. Now, so explain, like, say you wanted to go to a dinner and a movie, like, what in exchange for that?
Well, typically, taking care of the household was a daily thing. Mm-hmm. So that was always done. Dinner and a movie was really nothing big because he didn't like to cook.
Okay.
And I didn't like to clean at that point. I didn't want to do dishes and stuff, so... I would just think of something that sounded good for dinner and say, doesn't this sound good? Mm-hmm. And we'd go.
Oh, okay. So you would just, those were things that were simple for you. You're both on the same accord with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it was something like a Rolex that you wanted, and how would you ask for it and how would he answer?
Well, I learned not to ask for anything that expensive right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Wait until you've done something extraordinary.
Yeah.
To receive something extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if we had a party over the weekend or we had a gathering out on the boat, which we did quite often, we would take 5 or 6, 7 people out on the boat, and I'd play the host and create drinks and keep the boat clean. Mm-hmm. And those are the times where I'd ask for something big.
Okay. And did it ever get to a point where he was like, you know... Did he ever get lax, and was it due to, did he ever just give you an allowance, or was it always material things, or was it just room and board?
No, it was always material things, and I stayed with him only on the weekends. I would go down a couple week nights for a couple hours, but I'd always come back home, so.
And so he never just tossed a couple of dollars your way and just kind of was like, here, take this.
Oh, no, I was never given cash money.
Oh, okay. So it was always...
In exchange.
In exchange for something materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or time.
Or time.
Okay. That's interesting. Would you have preferred to be like, just, you know...
At that point, no, because I was being spoiled. I was... The main, you know, all the attention and focus was on me. Even when we had company over, he was showing me off, and of course I felt glamorous and,
yeah,
you know,
of course,
haha. I felt hot,
young and hot to try.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking fly and getting the things that you want.
Right,
we'd feel on top of the world, I would imagine.
And I really lived it up, and I made sure to strut my stuff and made, you know, which he loved too. He loved showing me off. Uh-huh. You know, at one time I was cute and young, you know, mm-hmm. and so we had a good time with that, and that lasted at least 3 years before, you know.
Okay. And so did having a financier turn out, or sugar daddy, turn out the way exactly that you wanted it to? What were the ugly sides of having someone who you had to depend on or look to for the things that you wanted out of life?
The only thing that was very bothersome was I couldn't really do my own thing. Like, I couldn't say, hey, I want to go out with my friends, or hey, I'm going to go over here and do this, or I'm going to go and do that, you know. It was always, I belonged to him, and the leash was short.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't allowed freedom. I wasn't allowed friends. I wasn't allowed to go to any other people's houses without him.
Oh, wow. Then it became sort of like an ownership, you're saying.
What it became.
You felt like an item instead of a person.
Right.
Okay.
What I had achieved to be, which was his arm candy, mm-hmm. I became his arm candy that couldn't get away from his arm.
Oh, wow.
So.
And so before actually getting away from him, what were the red flags? What were the signs that you seen that it was time to kind of depart from this individual?
Well, I had graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to start school in the fall. And, I mean, I had just graduated high school. I wanted to go out and have fun and be with friends and I was at the peak of my, you know, I was very into going to the clubs and into sex because, you know, I was 18.
Yeah,
I hear that. And so, you know, and I could get into all the all
young,
the bars.
Young, dumb, and full of cum.
Young, dumb, and full of cum. More, more than you can write a song about.
So.
And I would go to the clubs. If I ever got away to get away from him, I would go to all the clubs, even though I wasn't 21. They'd let me in.
Right, because he's seen you. You were seen with him.
That, and because I was young. And
so were there things? How would he reprimand you for, say, if you went to a club without him, like you just mentioned, or anything that he didn't approve of you doing? How would he?
Oh, I would be shut out.
For
about the weekend. Like, he would plan something fun to go and do, go on the boat, or go to Six Flags with his friends, or a great big dinner, or something like that. And when I would ask about it, he would be, "Oh no, you're not going this time. You can stay at home," meaning at home with my folks.
Oh, with his folks. So he didn't like
with my folks.
So he invited you over to tell you you couldn't come.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What a douche.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about how you find your independence from such a character.
Well, we had, after I graduated and I was going to school, I did end up moving in with him because my folks decided to move to Michigan and I didn't want to leave Georgia. So I did move in with him and I stayed at home and played the merry housewife all day long while he was at work.
And this is how many years in?
This is four.
4 years in?
Four years
in. And then you're finally moving in with the fellow.
And I moved in with him, and I was given my own bedroom, even though I didn't sleep in there. I was given my own bedroom, and we set up a gym, and everything I wanted, I just didn't leave the house.
Okay.
And so that started sending up red flags, and I started getting very bored being at home all the time. You know? There's only so many booze and pot you can smoke and do.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I started getting bored, and I started wondering about what else was out there for myself.
And so, by wondering, you came across the idea that you could probably do better on your own.
Well, no. We had a long conversation about it, and I said that I didn't feel, I was feeling worthless, that I needed something to give myself meaning besides staying home and taking care of him.
And you said this out loud to him?
Yep.
Congratulations to you.
Right?
That takes some strength to do that, especially when you're so dependent on someone or someone feels that you're dependent on them. I know, to have that conversation.
Well, I started to get the inkling that he would be just as upset if I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So I started to learn, okay,
you got some.
Either I'm going to leave,
yeah,
or you're going to give me what I want.
Yeah. That's right. Play your cards, too.
Right.
You finally got a deck.
And so I went to school, and he got me a job for after school.
And what was that job, if you don't mind?
He got me a job working in a travel agency as the owner's personal assistant.
Okay, cool.
It was extremely cool. The only thing is the owner and everybody that worked in that travel agency were all very close-knit with him.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, no matter what I did, he knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
So
he still kind of had those chains
had
on you. Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. So it was difficult for you to have that conversation when you were ready to, because you also had to put at risk your job,
mm-hmm,
which was one of the reasons probably that you thought you could be independent from him.
Give
right?
myself a little me time.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Now, you mentioned pre-interview something about being Peter Pan. What did you mean by that?
Peter Pan is a lot of things. You know, J.M. Barrie's 1911 story of Peter Pan is actually a lot darker than the whimsical Disney story that me and you are used to.
Yeah.
It more or less is actually kind of morbid, and it deals with growing up and becoming a man and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be looked upon as the death of youth.
Okay.
The shadow being growing into adulthood and responsibility. And Peter Pan doesn't want to lose that, so he tries everything he can to put his shadow back on him. You know? But it can also mean it can mean the death of youth, and I don't ever want to lose the youth inside of me. So I call my inside Peter Pan because I don't want to grow up. I don't want to do all these things, even though you have to, you know? So,
do you think somehow, or in some way, that's what your older gentleman fellow felt with having you? Is that he didn't want to lose you in that way, or?
No, I think he felt more or less as, he was very wealthy, and I was more or less just a possession.
Mm-hmm.
And he's used to being in control of his possessions, so it's really more or less about possession, nothing else.
Okay. So, after you realized that you were no longer wanting to be a possession of his. Mm-hmm. You gain independence, you get your work, you get your job, and then you say, all right, I've had enough, I want to go. And what's his response to you?
Well, it kind of happened in a very fast, very quick movement. We had gone out for my 21st birthday, actually. And after dinner, we had gone back to the condo, and something was bothering me. I didn't feel that I had the birthday experience that I wanted for my 21st birthday. And the following morning, I looked at him and I said, I want a ticket. He goes, what do you want a ticket for? A lottery ticket? And I said, no, I want a ticket to Michigan. And we kind of argued and went back and forth all day about it. And then finally, I went on the computer and bought myself a ticket with his credit card.
Oh, wow.
And left.
And left to where to?
I went to Michigan, back to where my family's home is.
Did he know you were buying a ticket, or did he think you were buying some kind of expensive clothing or something?
No, he found out that I was buying a ticket when I told him he had to take me to the airport.
And did he willingly take you?
He took me.
That's not bad.
He did take me. It was actually a very sad day, because it was very sad for both of us. He didn't try to stop me.
Okay. I was just getting ready to ask him, what ways did he try and convince you to stay?
It was probably the first time in 6 years that I saw real emotion from him. Mm-hmm. That he was actually very sad, and he told me I took a lot of his heart with me.
Yeah.
And so it made me feel a little bit, almost guilty enough to stay.
Okay.
But I didn't.
Did you think it was a shtick, or did it feel sincere and genuine?
No, it was completely sincere.
Okay.
It was sincere.
Okay. All right, and so what advice, as we wrap up our conversation, and if you can hear, although we're in the lovely Miami, it did start to rain a little bit, so we're going to try and speak up over the sound, the lovely sound of raindrops, which if I was in bed, I would love to hear right now.
Definitely.
But in what ways did, I mean, and what advice could you give to someone now who is trying to get out of a situation like that? And in what ways would you tell them to leave in this era?
Be true to yourself. Know what you want before you just run away. Know what you want. Take responsibility for what you want and how you're going to get it. Don't expect everything to come free, because it doesn't. Nothing in life is free. So have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what advice do you give to someone in that same relationship and it's going good?
If it's going good, then if it's not broke, it doesn't need to be fixed.
I hear that. So you're saying right now, if you are in a healthy relationship where you, what are the signs that it's a healthy relationship between you and what started as your financier?
Well, if you're not second guessing what you're doing, if you're worried about doing something wrong, or you're going to be reprimanded, or you're going to feel guilty, or it's not going to please, if you're worried about pleasing the other person all the time, that's not a healthy relationship. You need to be pleasing yourself, because who you're with should be happy that you're happy, not worried about how happy you're making them.
Right, and that's how you know it's a good relationship.
Right.
And so give me 3 bullet points of how you know it's time to get out from your experience.
Self-doubt. If you're doubting what you're doing and what you're feeling, that's one. If you feel like there's a dark cloud over you, or you're being reprimanded for small things, or you find small things tedious and not challenging and you want to be challenged, that's 2. And 3, literally, just follow your heart.
Awesome. What great advice here from Martin Deegan on A Canty Conversation. I want to thank you, Martin, for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
And I'll hopefully have you back again. This topic was also chosen by Martin, so kudos to him. And then also, if you're listening, the 1-4 is still available on Anchor FM, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We did get a question about people were looking for the conversation on iTunes, but it's called Apple Podcasts. It has its own app. So Apple Podcasts, if you're looking for A Canty Conversation. And then I want to thank you all for listening in. And if you have topics, remember to email them. And once again, this has been A Canty Conversation, and I can't wait for our next chat. Thanks. Have a great day, night, or morning, everyone.